Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is a great blessing to be here. And I've always enjoyed Pastor Alter here and getting to know him over the years. For those of you who don't know, I pastored in Toledo almost 11 years. And about a year ago, Brother Jessup, it was a year ago in August, Brother Earl Jessup, the founder of Baptist Church Plant Ministry, went home to be with the Lord. I have been involved with the ministry since its founding as an assistant pastor up in Canada, and I was involved with several of the early church plants. And then when I became a pastor, I served on the board. I served on the board for almost 20 years, and I've been heavily involved with the ministry over that time. And I knew the Jessups very well and knew the director very well. And when Brother Jessup went home to be with the Lord, on the way home from the funeral, my kid said to me, "Dad, you're going to go to that ministry, aren't you?" And I go, "No, I am not leaving Liberty. I had no desire to leave Liberty. We loved it there. I have two children and that lived there. One of my children backslid and moved to California, married and moved to California. But the other two stayed right where we are. We have two grandchildren there. And I tell you, this has been a hard year for me as we struggle about what God would have us to do. And I really knew God wanted us to do this, but giving up the church, leaving the people, leaving our family. And anyhow, God led us to do that. We sold our 2,400 square foot home, bought a 420 foot square foot trailer. Amen. And that's all we have now is a trailer. We're traveling the country. It's funny. I get to churches like this and people say, "Well, where do you live?" I go, "Your parking lot." And so, I said, "Now ask me tomorrow, might be somewhere else." But, and so we're literally going to be traveling the country as our ministry has grown. It is almost impossible for Brother Roland to get into new churches and promote the need of church planting. And so that's going to be my main focus to do that. Brother Roland, by the way, today is in Arizona. And what we started this year is some enrichment conferences for church planters, guys who have started churches in the last 5-6 years. And it's all focused on encouraging them. It's not a how-to conference, but it's something to encourage them in their marriage and their families and their ministry. And we are seeing that some of the guys are really struggling and hurting. And so we want to be a blessing to them also. So we did one here in Ohio. This one right now is in Arizona. We're going to be doing some more next year. And so please be in prayer for those things. And we just want to be a blessing. And also are in an international ministry. I know Brother Field is here. Brother Roland's been with you over in India. And we have helped start churches in Portugal, Mexico, England, France, different countries. And it is our desire to make this a global ministry and eventually have somebody running India for us or running Africa for us, those kind of things. And hopefully the Lord doesn't lead me that way, all right? But amen. But I'm enjoying what God has us doing. And so we normally wouldn't be this far north this time of year. If you ever lived in a trailer, you understand why. But, you know, just starting out, I knew you guys, and I'm trying to hit as many churches as I can. Next year in November, you won't see us, all right? We'll be in, for some reason, in Texas or somewhere like that, all right? All right, Psalm 67. The title of the message this morning is, "We Are Not Done Yet." Let me read to you number 6. If you know Psalm 67 well, you know the connection here. But Numbers chapter 6, it's funny. My dad quoted this my entire life. Now, he misquoted it. And when I first read this, I'm like, wow, my dad knew Scripture. All right, but he always said, "May the Lord bless thee and keep thee because I don't want thee," is how he said it. All right, but the Bible says in Numbers chapter 6, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Amen. That's a great passage of Scripture. Amen. Don't you love to use that passage of Scripture if you're discouraged? Maybe you have a couple that comes to you and they're maybe feeling a little burnt out, maybe feeling a little down, a little discouraged, and need some encouragement. It's a great passage of Scripture for that. Maybe you and your ministry are getting a little down, and and hurting a little bit. So you look at that passage of scripture and you're asking, God, may your face shine upon me and may you bless me. Amen. That would be a wonderful truth, a great encouragement, a great help to get you to go a little farther down the road. But Psalm 67 here goes beyond the blessing of number 6. And it takes us to, I believe, the purpose of the blessing that he's giving to us here in number 6 and that he repeats here in Psalm 67. Here in Psalm 67, we find the purpose to that blessing. Let's read here in verse number 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. We see here, first of all, in verse number 1 that God's desire is to bless us. You know, sometimes we think that we have to beg God to bless us, right? I remember when I was a kid, my brother, if you look up cheap in the dictionary, my brother John's picture's there, all right? And I tell you, it's just terrible. And I remember one time I was in a fair as a teenager, I was at a county fair, and my brother was there, and I had all the money to buy a Dixie dog. I was 10 cents short, so I said, hey, John, can I have 10 cents for a Dixie dog? And he looked at me literally and said, you don't need a Dixie dog. All right, he wasn't giving me 10 cents. Like, 10 cents? Come on, even you would give 10 cents. Five. All right. And he just wouldn't do it. And sometimes we treat God like that we got to come to God and say, God, I just need 10 cents. Please give me 10 cents. And we think that we have to beg God for a blessing. But God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us individually. He wants to bless our families. He wants to bless our churches. He wants to just pour out blessing upon us. He is a gracious God. He's a loving God. Now, I understand this more now as a grandfather. All right, my 2-year-old grandson, I was at Walmart with him once, and there was this thing of this truck full of little cars. And I showed it to him, and I put it back on the shelf. And he let go of my hand. And he grabbed the box, and he put it in my hand. And I said, you stupid kid, put that back. No, I didn't. He's my grandson. I would have said that to my own son. But, my grandson, okay, he wants his cars, and so we're buying him the cars, all right? And my wife made me drive one time over an hour in the west side, or the east side of Tennessee, you know, where you're driving like this. You know, and we drove over an hour like that. I was starting to get sick, and we just got that dually, and I was afraid I was going to swerve off the road. We get there because we had to buy sheets for our new trailer. It's very important. And we got there, and she's in the baby section looking at sleepers because we were expecting a granddaughter. I'm like, I didn't drive an hour and a half for sleepers. But anyhow, we got both. And but again, are we going to turn down the granddaughter? No, we're not going to turn down the granddaughter. And that's how God wants to be to us. He wants to bless us. But he wants to bless us for a reason. Amen. And when we think of our ministry, say in your mind quickly, if you think of your ministry, God blessing your ministry, and what would that look like? And what do you think are the blessings that you would need in a ministry? Now, I haven't been out of the pastorate too long, and I can think of Liberty Baptist Church, and I can think of the blessings that I would want to see at Liberty Baptist Church. Many of you are probably thinking in your own mind the blessings you would love to see God pour down upon you as a ministry and in your churches or in the ministries. I know there's others here that are in a ministry like myself that you would say, I want God's blessing to pour down upon my ministry and visualizing what that could be, right? When you think of my grandson can come to me and ask anything, well, if we can go to God and get any blessing for our ministry, what are the blessings that you would be thinking of? What would be in your heart's desire? What would be that first thing that you would say, okay, God, let's start here? What would be the first thing that you would beg God for? Well, let's go on and read verse number 2. He's telling us in verse number 1 that he wants to bless us. Verse 2, why? That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy salvation, or thy saving health, sorry, among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Amen. Now, we have no problem preaching this to our people, that God wants to bless you, that you can be a blessing to others, that you can give, right? We use a passage like this in the Faith Promise Missions Conference and tell our people, God has blessed you. And in America, people are blessed. And people have more than most people in this world will ever see in their entire lifetime. And we encourage them and we tell them, God has blessed you. God has poured blessing down upon you. And He now wants you to be a blessing and to give to others. And we use that in the Faith Promise Missions Conference. Maybe you bring in a missionary and you would use that kind of a challenge to your people. But many times when it comes to us, when we think about it as a church and our own ministry, God bless me, and we do like our people do. Now, I remember, hearing all my life, you've heard this expression many times, you know, and it started, I believe, with the World War II, you know, the greatest generation, they call them. They say, I want my kids to live better than I did. I want them to have a better life than me. Now, you got to remember, those people, my dad grew up in the Netherlands during World War II, Nazi-occupied Holland. They had to eat cat. They had to line up for food. All right. They didn't know if they were going to have clothing. His father died because he had a stroke, and only the Germans could get oxygen at the hospital, and so they just let him die. And that's the kind of life my father grew up in. So to him, a better life was, you don't have to line up for food. To my dad's dying day, you could take him to the best buffet in the country. He hated buffets. I don't line up for food anymore. That's what he always said. I'm thinking, well, it's not quite the same anymore, Dad. But anyhow, he didn't want to do that. But he wanted what was best. But best for him was that, you know, we had clothes and that we could eat and we'd have a home over our heads and we could actually go to a hospital and get oxygen if we needed it and so forth. And so then you got the baby boomers who said, you know, we want a better life for our kids than we had. And then you have the Gen Xers. That's me. All right. And we say, all right, we want better for our kids than we had. Now we have the millennials. Right. And see where we have gone as a nation. We have gone from saying, you know what, listen, we just want food on the table and clothes on their back and providing for them, to now our 2-year-olds have to have their own cell phones and iPads. We have to be able to go on 4 weeks vacation to Europe somewhere. We got to drive the fanciest cars. We got to have big homes. We got to have all these things. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things, but we say, God bless us and God bless us. And we want more. Now look at churches. We think of churches here in America, and Brother Clayton here could give a great, more history than I could, but in the 60s and 70s, what churches wanted, amen? They wanted a storefront that they could meet in, and they weren't even asking for padded chairs back then. They just wanted chairs so they could have their people sit down. And we're seeing churches planted all over America, especially Ohio. Ohio was greatly blessed with church planting. People had a fire for it, a great desire for it. And we were happy to meet in storefronts and old theaters and all these kind of places that are going on. But now we want what's better. Amen. We wanted better for the next generation. We didn't want those guys didn't want the young preachers like Brother Thompson, what he had to go through. We don't want the next generation to have to go through that. And so it's better. And then we don't want the next generation to go through that. And we got to get better. And the problem was, some guy in the 1980s wrote a book on the greatest Sunday schools in America. One of the problems that came about that book, and I'm not opposed to that. Hey, if God's blessed somebody and they have a great ministry and somebody wants to write about that person, I have no problem with that whatsoever. But the problem was, we got our eyes off of reaching the world, reaching our nation, reaching out beyond ourselves, and got our eyes on ourselves. Amen. We've got to build our empire. We got to build our kingdom. We have to build a name for ourselves. Since I came here to the United States, I had a pastor tell me, unless you're running 700, you're nobody. Okay, so if you want to become an international preacher, you got to run 700 or more to get your name out there. All right, I'm thinking, man, there's very few of us that are going to be anybody. All right, and that's the kind of a mentality that started becoming the norm here, and because of that, we started focusing on ourselves. Now, listen, I understand as a pastor, we have to think about reaching our community. We have to think of buses. We got to think of you're needing to expand your building. That's a great thing. You got to focus on those kind of things, right? But again, our people in our pews have to think of feeding their kids, putting them through school, getting them into college, doing all of these things for them, paying the bills, paying the mortgage, paying the electric bill. And we challenge them. Now, listen, we got to think beyond ourselves And we got to think, you know, missions, conferences, different times. We got to think beyond ourselves, and we got to reach out beyond ourselves to be a blessing to others. And folks, as churches, we need to have that same kind of a burden. Yes, we got to take care of the bills. Yes, we got to pay the mortgage. Yes, you got to pay your staff. I understand all of that stuff. But we have to think beyond ourselves, because God says He wants to bless each and every one of our churches for one reason, that the world would know the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants it not just that our communities get saved, but that the world would honor and glorify the Lord. He goes on to say in verse number 4, he says, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah." See, he wants to bless the nations. Now, blessing the nations isn't that every nation out there has the economic status of the United States of America. Amen. He wants to bless the nations. He wants to bless the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants people around the world to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they too would lift up the name of the Lord, that they too would praise Him and would fear Him as they live their lives day by day. God desires that the nations praise Him. In verse number 5 again, it says, "Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee." Now, how are we going to accomplish all of that? Well, I believe in accomplishing all of this, we need to follow God's plan. Let's look what it says there in verse number 6. "Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." Remember why Israel sang this song every year? It was to praise God for another year of provision. Amen. We are about to celebrate Thanksgiving. It's a sad thing in America today what Thanksgiving has become, all right, compared to what Thanksgiving was, all right? And most of us haven't grown up in rural America. Most of us don't know what it means to move to a new world and to plant crops. And if those crops fail, that my family could die. And so therefore, when you planted every seed, you were begging God for a harvest. And as you picked every plant or every ear of corn, you were praising God for every one of them. Amen. Because you knew that meant your family was going to get fed and you were going to be provided for another year. And Thanksgiving came around always in the fall. Why? Because after harvest, and we thank God, we praise God for what He has done for us. God will bless us as we are thankful for Him, as we praise Him, and as we share the blessings. Some say, you know, today, well, you know, we can't do more for missions, or we can't get involved with church planting because, you know, we're too small. We don't have enough money. I had a pastor tell me one time that once his building was paid for, and once all the church's needs were met, that he was going to start taking on missionaries. All right? You've been here 20 years. Have all your needs been met? You just lay back in your office and...
Oh, yeah, we're flush.
You're flush. All right, good. See, you can take on missionaries. All right, good. Amen. All right. You know, and the thing is, it was 1999. I was getting ready to start my first church. I never pastored before. And I'm thinking in my mind already at that level. I'm not experienced yet. And I'm thinking, when does a church never have needs? You know, when does it ever get to that point? You know, where everything's covered. All right, now, maybe some of you have had a multimillionaire come in and write a blank check. I don't know, but most churches don't have that blessing. Amen. And so we say, well, we can't do this until this happens. We can't do that until that happens. Well, of course, we use many times 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to encourage our people. But it says, "How then a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." I believe as we think beyond ourselves and give beyond ourselves, that is when God is going to bless our ministries even more. We're asking God, bless us. God bless us. And God says, God, I want to bless you. I want to pour out a blessing. What are you going to do with that blessing? Are you only thinking of yourself? Are you only thinking of your own ministry? Are you only thinking of your own empire? Or are you going to give beyond that? And I believe God wants to bless us even more if we think beyond ourselves, as we give beyond of ourselves. I heard of a pastor recently that decided, you know, they had a bunch of money set up for a building and it wasn't enough to set up for them to get a building. And he talked to his deacons and they decided to give the money that they had set aside for their new building to missions. They wrote big checks to these different missionaries. Today, they built that addition. Amen? And I believe that when we step out by faith as churches and we go beyond ourselves and think beyond ourselves as the people did in the early churches here. Here we have again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that these churches that had next to nothing didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And they gave. They gave beyond their ability to be a blessing to others. So God will give us an abundant harvest when we follow His plan by praising Him for His provision, giving beyond ourselves, and I believe then He would give back unto us. He ends here in verse number 7. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. The phrase, the ends of the earth, and the reason why the message is titled today, we're not finished yet. You know, I've just started traveling now, and I come to Dayton, and I hear about 5 or 6 good independent Baptist churches right in Dayton. All right, I'm not counting you guys; I consider you a little farther out, but I'm talking about right in Dayton itself. That's the only ones I've heard of. Those there might even be more. I don't know. And we think of all the churches, the independent Baptist churches across America, and we think we've got America covered. Amen. And you can see it in our society today that the United States of America is just a fundamental nation, loves God and the principles of God. Amen. Well, obviously it doesn't. Amen. There's a lot of problems in America today, and we are becoming more and more secular. And when it talks about reaching to the ends of the earth, I could say in the independent Baptist movement in America, we probably have every country covered. I would say, in missionaries, sending missionaries to, I believe, at least most countries. I even know missionaries in Russia, all right? And so I think we got most countries covered. But Brother Fielder would know more. India. So you send a missionary to India. He speaks one language. We got it covered. No. We wouldn't have India covered. And what we see is that, yeah, we might have missionaries in every country. We might have missionaries on every continent. We might have churches spread across this nation, but we're not done yet. When it talks about the ends of the earth, you know, one of the things that shocked me about the United States over Canada, in Canada, you would never start a church. I know a church up in Michigan that the town, you know, usually a small town, there's an intersection, there's a gas station, a variety store, a church, and maybe another building on the four corners. This town didn't even have that. I don't even think there was stores in the town. All right, but there was a dot on the map, and they called it a town. And this church run a 500. Thinking, how on earth could that be? In the middle of nowhere, this church run a 500 people. And, you know, I just think of communities like that across our country, and how many of them could be reaching people for Christ, and we could be seeing souls saved, and churches were planted in those communities. And of course, our cities across this nation, how many of our cities? We've moved out to the suburbs, we've moved out to the expanding areas, but what about our cities that we're turning our backs on in our cities? And yet we complain as independent Baptists that all our cities are liberal, and they love the Democrats and Hillary, and they're voting for them, you know, we can't stand our inner cities, but what are we doing to reach into those inner cities? And when we think around the globe, all that needs to be done, I believe God wants to bless us as churches. God wants to bless your ministry. God wants to do something great in your ministry. And yes, I don't believe God has a problem with your churches growing, with you building buildings, with you buying new buses and vans. God has no problem with you getting a new PA system and all that stuff. But God wants to bless you so that you think beyond yourselves, reaching out to the uttermost part. And folks, I believe that if we do more of that, God is going to greatly bless us. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, of course, we know that it tells us there that we need to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part. Jerusalem, of course, is your hometown. Your Judea would be like Ohio here. Samaria, everybody knows the Samaritans were hated, so we call that Michigan. And amen. And then to the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, what did God have to do to get them out of Jerusalem? Right? Persecution had to come. How many times did you think maybe in our ministries that families leave over the color of your tie because we're not thinking beyond ourselves and God has to do something. How many ministries in America have been split over squabbling over the dumbest things? And it's because God has to bring something in our ministry to do something beyond ourselves, just like he did in Jerusalem. Maybe if we thought of that next community over, and yeah, it might cost you two families if you started a church in that community over there, but wouldn't that be better than losing 10, 12, 15 families over a split, over this or over that? In Acts chapter 8, God brought persecution to the church to get them to get beyond themselves. Now, I think God could greatly bless the church of Jerusalem, and as they did what God told them to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, great things would have happened, and all of those communities could have been reached, and the church in Jerusalem wouldn't have had to suffer such great persecution in order to get it done. And then to see it spread around the known world. And of course, we know in Acts chapter 5, they turned Jerusalem upside down. By Acts chapter 17, they turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. Today, America's blessed. Our churches are so blessed. You know, some of you older men in the building here might remember some of the older church buildings. And, you know, in the wintertime, the heat didn't quite cut it. And in the summertime, the air conditioning didn't quite cut it. But God was blessing those churches. God was doing something. We don't have too many of those kind of churches today. Amen. Well, I believe we're living in comfort. There's nothing wrong with that. But let us live beyond ourselves. Think beyond ourselves so that the name of Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for this.